I want to save some things for Johnny to announce so that he doesn't have to feel like he's got to stand up here for nothing. Johnny, I'm going to go ahead and Kenny, would you lead us in our closing prayer today when we're dismissed? So, Johnny, when you finished, just call on Kenny Chambers to lead us in our closing prayer this morning. The text in Luke 4, verses 16 through 21. Luke read a while ago, and it's appropriate that Luke read Luke, don't you think? Anyway, Jesus has been brought up at Nazareth. He's come back to the synagogue at Nazareth on the Sabbath day, and he stands up to read. And this was a common practice. Any Jewish man could stand up and read from God's book a passage selected that he selected. And so he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's on a scroll, most likely. And so he opens the book and he finds the place where it's written. And here's what Jesus read. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he closed the book, gives it back to the attendant, sits down. Everybody's looking at him. And so he says to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." That's a bold statement. Jesus is telling us in this context, in this text, he is telling us why he was born. Have you ever wondered why you were born? What's my purpose in this world? What's my reason for living? Have you ever wondered that about yourself? I know young people go through this as they try to decide a career, as they try to decide where they're going to live, who they're going to marry, what they're going to do with their life. Oh yeah, every young person goes through that, trying to determine just what's my purpose, what's my place. Everybody needs to find their place. And the most miserable people in the world are the ones wandering around with no purpose in life. No real place, they call it. Jesus tells us why he was born. He tells us his purpose for coming here. Now, we go to places. We go visit family. We go and take vacations. We go out and make a living. We all have our reasons. Jesus had a reason to come to earth. Number one, he came to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, what value would this preaching bring? What kind of value would this bring to the poor? He comes to preach the gospel to the poor. How's that going to help the poor? They're still going to be poor. Is this talking about physical wealth? Well, certainly, there's a lot of poor people in this world. But the preaching of Jesus brought wealth. But it didn't bring gold or emeralds or pearls, did it? No, of course not. In Luke 6:20, "Then he lifted his eyes toward his disciples and said, 'Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God.'" In Matthew 5, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Who's he talking about? He's not talking about people that have very little money in their bank account. He's not talking about people that can barely afford to feed their families. These are sad situations. These are horrible things. But Jesus is talking rather about those that are spiritually poor. There's a lot of people out there that are hungry, and they don't even know it. They're starving to death. They are spiritually poor. They live lives that are without God. They live lives that are without the ethics and the morals of God. And they make a mess of their lives, don't they? How many times have we encountered somebody that really just doesn't fit in? And we look down on them, but the thing is, we should pity them rather than look down on them. We should not despise someone who has chosen to be a drug addict. We should not despise someone who has chosen to be a liar. We should not despise someone who's chosen to live a life of misery and just barely getting by. We should not despise people because they choose lives that are different than ours, because they do not have God in their life. And if you don't have God in your life, if you don't have the morals and the values, if you don't have basically the rules for living and being a success in this world, if you don't have God in your life, the knowledge of God in your heart, you're going to make a mess of your life. You are. There's no exception to this. No one is smart enough to direct his own steps. Didn't Jeremiah say that? It's not in man that walks to direct his own steps. No one is smart enough to do that. You're going to make a mess of your life if you're not governed and guided and directed by this book. You're not going to get it right. You're going to make it wrong. You're going to mess up. You need help. The problem is so many people don't realize they need help. And sometimes they become successes financially, by hook and by crook, by whatever means they see fit. They do what they have to do, and they get ahead successful financially. And they are successes in society. And many of them are movie stars and singers and actors. And many of them are big businessmen and women. Some of them go on to achieve great success in science and industry and technology. But they have lives that are empty of good. There is nothing of value there, even though they're surrounded by gold and emeralds and pearls. But there is nothing of value. They are poor. Poor in spirit. They desperately need something. They need the gospel. And Jesus said, I've come to preach to the poor. And if you are poor in spirit, yours will be the kingdom of heaven. What does this mean? It means that if you recognize, if you see yourself as God sees you, you will change. You will come to God. You will humble yourself and bow before His majesty, His glory, His sovereignty. You will put God on the throne and you will sit at the footstool. If you come to terms, if you come to recognize that you need God, those are the poor in spirit. Psalm 50, verse 10 through 12, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine in all its fullness. God doesn't need our money. I'm not telling you don't give in church. That ain't what I'm saying. So don't get excited. In fact, you should write that check a little bigger. Because definitely we can use the funds to help a lot of folks and to do God's work. But what is this saying? God does not need our money. He does not need us to give to Him. He does not need our wealth. But we need, for our sake, to give to God. It's for us. It's to help us. Because we put our trust and our faith in Him. It is not that God wants us to be financially poor. Some of the richest people in the world were made rich by God Himself. I didn't say all of them. I said some of them. Satan has the ability to bless, but his blessings always come with a curse. Always. But God makes a man rich who can deal with it. He would not make a man rich who could not deal with it, because God would never cause a person to lose his own soul. And yet, did not Jesus say about the rich, how hard is it for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven? How hard is it? It's so hard it'd be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a sewing needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. And the apostle said, how then can any man be saved? And Jesus said, fear not. With God, with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So even a rich man can be saved, but he must become poor in spirit. He must humble himself before God. Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Our world is hurting, isn't it? You don't have to look far to see this hurt. There is death all around us. There is financial loss and loss of health. There's loss of jobs. We had this job fair here at the church building just about 3 or 4 weeks ago. We expected maybe 20, 25 people would come. There were more than 80 people that were looking for work. They're out of work, needing work, trying to find a place to work so they can provide for their families. There are so many people that are hurting. What does Jesus say about this? About healing the brokenhearted? Well, he says in John 14, 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. You believe in God, believe also in me. He's saying, trust me with all your heart. Trust me. I know who mine are. I know what to do with them. I know how to help them. In John 14, 27, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't give in to fear. You don't know how you're going to pay your bills? Trust God. Now, granted, we all need to do all that we can to help ourselves. But we need to trust in God. And we have to live right before the Lord if we want His help and protection. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We want God to bless us, but we want to live the way we want to live. We want God to take care of us, keep us safe from harm, bless us as we travel, but we don't want to serve Him. We don't want to do what He says. We'll obey when it's convenient, but when it's not convenient, we're going to do what we choose to do. How can you expect God to bless you and protect you when you will not submit to Him? No, this is not going to work. We have to submit to Him. We have to let the Lord lead our lives. And this is how He leads our lives. By us submitting to Him and following His word. By keeping His commandments. We show Him we love Him. And God will bless us. He will protect us. He will take care of us. And in the end, He will take us home. But we have to choose to do His will. This is how He will heal the brokenhearted. Jesus says in John 16:33, "In me you have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to give sight to the blind. Now, boy, this is a biggie. There are those who cannot see, and there are those who will not see. You hear what I'm saying? Some can't because they are certainly incapable. They are physically blind. And some choose not to see. They choose to live in a world of their own design and their own making instead of living in the real world. There have been those who have never seen God. They had never witnessed God's love or His compassion or His grace. But in Christ Jesus, they would be able to see. Because Jesus came to declare the Father. He came to show me and the Father. In John 14:9, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Before Jesus came, no one had seen the Father. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. John 1 verse 18. But here is where the problem is. Here's what the problem is. In Matthew 13:15-17, Jesus makes this statement. "For the hearts of this people have grown dull." Do y'all remember Gone with the Wind? Y'all remember that movie? 1939. Same year as Wizard of Oz and Robin Hood. All three movies, big blockbusters released in 1939. It was a very good year for the movie companies. And all three of those movies were made in color. Some of the first color movies ever made. How about that? Well, here's the thing. In 1939, Rhett Butler says the first curse word ever recorded in movies. The very first curse word ever uttered in film. At the end of the movie, when he tells Scarlett he doesn't care, but he uses a colorful metaphor, shall we say, to describe that word. How many curse words have you heard in your life? More than 10. Now, the little ones, maybe not. But if you've lived any length of time, and unless you've lived on a desert island, you have heard people cursing. You have heard people swearing. You've heard people taking God's name in vain. You've heard people using vulgar terms and dirty words. Any number of ways we can say this. We have become, by necessity to some degree, we have become a bit dull of hearing. Desensitized. By necessity, because we're surrounded by it. And I mean, I would go crazy if I focused on every one of these words and tried to confront every single person who says these words. I would spend all my time doing that. I would go nuts. I have to find a way to turn it off, don't you? And so sometimes we choose to be dull of hearing. But Jesus is saying, beware. Beware lest your conscience get hard. Beware lest you fall into the snare of the devil and you start living like the world and talking like the world because, hey, everybody's doing it. Jesus says, the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Jesus, of course, is commending those who listen to him, who believe in him, who follow him. 73 years ago, today was a Sunday. Did you know that? 73 years ago today was a Sunday. The war was raging in Europe, throughout the South Pacific, and throughout Asia. Germany and Italy had taken the major part of Central Europe and Northern Africa. Japan had conquered China and the Southeast Asian countries. They had spread up to the borders almost to Russia. They were conquering every island in the Pacific, but there was one thing in their way, the United States. And unprovoked, unannounced, without any declaration of war, on December 7th, 1941, just shortly before 8 in the morning, Pacific time, the island of Hawaii, or the islands of Hawaii, were attacked by two waves of Japanese aircraft at Pearl Harbor, killing over 2,400 Americans and wounding another 1,200, destroying untold amount of property, sinking four battleships and many smaller ships, support vessels, just virtually just destroying the harbor is what they set out to do, and trying to destroy the American fleet in the Pacific. Unannounced. Now here's the thing that I want to stress from this point. The U.S. saw the signs. They anticipated an attack. They thought it might be coming, but they were caught completely by surprise. They were not prepared for this. They did not anticipate this at this time. They had their eyes open, but they were not seeing. They did not see the evidence. They did not see. And so many lives, so many people are living their lives just like that. The blind man in John chapter 9, Jesus healed him. And because he healed him on the Sabbath day, he got in trouble. But the blind man is trying to share with these Jewish leaders, these religious scholars, that it was Jesus who healed him. And they said, this man is a sinner. How can he heal? And the blind man said, how can he be a sinner? I don't know about this. All I know is I was blind and now I see. He, in his blindness, saw Jesus. They could see Jesus, but they were blind. They didn't recognize. They wouldn't see. Jesus said, I have come to give sight to the blind. And finally this morning, he says he came to give liberty to the oppressed. In Jesus' day, there were many oppressed people. There were slaves. There was lots of folks that were being taken advantage of. There were people at different levels of society, low caste people, if you want to use that term, physically and spiritually. Those were people who were ignored and belittled and looked down on. They were captives and prisoners. But I'm not even talking about physical prisoners and physical captives. I'm talking about spiritually. They were captives of Satan, captives of sin. And Jesus said he came to set the captives free. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. That's the price that has to be paid. That's what you earn when you sin. You deserve to die. I deserve to die. And I'm not talking physical death. That's going to happen whether I'm good or bad or ugly. It doesn't matter. I'm going to die physically. But what he's talking about is spiritual death, separation from God. I sin, I earn spiritual death. That's what I earn. That's my wages. That's what I worked for. I sin, my payment is death. That's what we have to look forward to. But Jesus said he came to set the captive free. In Matthew 11:28 through 30, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus gave rest to the woman at the well, didn't he? Here's a woman who'd been married 5 times and she's living with number 6. Jesus gave her rest. He showed her the truth. He showed her who he was. And he helped her to be made free. Free from sin and death. He gave her rest. And the whole city of Sychar came out to see him. And he gave them rest too. The woman that was taken in adultery. Caught in the very act. Funny how they let the man get away. They brought the woman to Jesus to try to get him to trap himself. And Jesus forgave her and set the captive free, telling her, go and sin no more. She did wrong. Jesus forgave her and said, go and sin no more. And then Zacchaeus, this crooked tax collector, a crooked politician. Have you ever heard of such? And Jesus set that captive free. Here's a man who was caught up in the world of materialism and wealth, of taking advantage of his own countrymen. And Jesus set him free. Zacchaeus repented and he said, I will restore fourfold anyone that I have wronged. Zacchaeus, you're made free. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to set the captive free. He came to give sight to the blind. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to preach the gospel of peace. That's what Jesus came to do. You know, in December, people look at the birth of Jesus and they think about that. And that's not what this is about. It's about what Jesus came to do. He was born, and thank God he was born. It was more likely in the spring. Not likely. Well, it was not in December. I can pretty much say for not absolute certainty, but I got pretty good odds that Jesus was not born in December, because it gets very cold in December in that place, and they don't have flocks out in the field by night in Palestine in December. So we can pretty much rule that out. But the fact is, Jesus was born whenever it was, and he came to this earth to save us from our sins. He came to this earth to give himself as a sacrifice for us, to help us have a way to get to heaven. And you know, before him, there was no way. Before Jesus, there was no chance for us to get to heaven. Without Jesus, none of us will be saved. All of us will be lost. And this is why it's important that we come to him in faith, that we believe in him enough to surrender, to submit to him, to do his will. I'm going to pray. I'm going to study. I'm going to grow. I'm going to be the man you want me to be. I'm going to be the... Ladies, you're going to be the woman he wants you to be. You're going to serve him and live for him. And you know what will happen? If you live for him, you get to live with him. And heaven will be your home. So, if you are not a Christian, what better time than right now to obey the gospel? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Well, then repent. Turn from sin and commit your life to the service of the Lord. If you're already, when you repent, then confess that you believe Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And God will forgive you. He'll wash your sins by the blood of Jesus. As Keeble used to say, you don't get in the blood till you get in the water. And people want to argue about that. And if you want to talk about that, I'll be glad to sit and talk with you. And I'll let you talk. I'll just show you some scripture and let you talk. But that's what you got to do. If you've already done that, but you've allowed sin to come back into your heart and your life to control you, you've rebelled against God, you've turned away from him, repent and come back to him before it's too late. If there's some way we can help you today to make things right with God, we want to give you that opportunity. That's the reason for this song. And that's the reason we will right now stand and sing, Come If You Need To.